This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening and welcome to the Well-Being Report. This program is generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the Executive Director here at WDIY. On this show, we talk about the local drivers that impact health and wellness and the collective efforts by the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network in addressing community health. As always, to continue this discussion, I welcome my co-host, Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Institute for Health.
Hi, Margaret. Great to be with you. It's been fun to zoom out and think about how the elements of our built environment and our neighborhoods here are either being invested in or disinvested in, which then impacts our health and quality of life. The seven vital conditions that we focus on outline all the comprehensive set of things that we need to have available for people to thrive.
Great, yes. And last month, we had such a great example of that. We were able to talk reliable transportation as a vital condition with Owen O'Neill, the executive director for the Lehigh and Northampton Transportation Authority, or LANTA. And that was just a really, really great conversation.
It was a great conversation and really highlighted the ways that transportation impacts the lives and creates challenges even for people in the Lehigh Valley, and how LANTA has to figure out how to grow with the Lehigh Valley as we get bigger. They're really trying to be innovative, and I liked how much we were able to highlight the ways that they're trying to make public transportation more accessible and more available to folks. So today, we're going to focus on thriving natural worlds. It's more about the air we breathe, the space we spend our time in, the way we use our land, and how we think about a healthy environment as being free from hazards and allowing us to connect with nature.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about this because I actually grew up in a park. Like, that was where I spent all of my time. Okay. So it really did shape who I am. So to talk more about all things green and thriving natural world as a vital condition, we're pleased to be joined by Ruffian Tittman, the inaugural executive director of the Allentown Parknership. Ruffian, we're excited to have you with us.
And I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Ruffian, from your perspective, tell us a little bit about why a natural thriving world, and in particular things like green space, which there's been a lot of recognition of in the last couple of years, is important in the context of health.
I think it's really foundational for a healthy community. When you think about things like clean air, as you mentioned, clean water, green space is doing both of those things. So from the very start, these green spaces are functioning and benefiting us even if we don't set foot in them. The trees are cleaning our air. The soil and the landscape is helping absorb water and bringing it back into the groundwater system, hopefully keeping runoff out of our rivers, creeks, and streams. And then you think about, wait, we want people out in them, and all of the benefits that come from being around the trees, touching the grass. I think the kids have a saying now, they need to touch grass every once in a while. It is so important for mental health, physical activity, and I think having that access close to home, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't have to get into a car, pack a cooler, although it's great to go out for a day. Somewhere wonderful. We have fabulous state parks in Pennsylvania. But to have a great space close to home where you can get the benefits of clean air, a nice breeze, a shady tree, run around if that's what you want to do, maybe sit on a bench and watch other people do that, have an opportunity to connect with neighbors. The list goes on and on.
Okay, what does an ideal green space look like, or one that is supportive of health and wellness?
Wow, that's a broad broad question. I think, one, you know, you have a feeling that you can be there, right? Like, I see this open landscape or these trees with a path or a playground or a basketball court surrounded by some open landscape. And the first thing you know is, I can get there safely. I feel good being there. This is a space I can be in. I see other people enjoying it, and the recreation that I want to do is available to me. So You know, those are some general concepts, but I think sometimes we have open space and we don't necessarily send the signals that this is public space. So that's really important too, to, you know, make sure there's safe crossings, that, you know, you're announcing this as parkland or open space. And there's some signals about how we'd like you to use it, whether it's a path, a sports field, those sort of things.
That's a sign point. That says don't feed the geese.
Right.
Or a sign that says welcome. We'd love for you to use it in these ways. We'd love you to take out what you've carried in. If we can't have everyone do that, that people know where we can leave trash, and we're seeing that taken care of. So all of those things that support the green space continuing to be welcoming.
And I think you highlighted a little bit of this, but is it just about the green space itself, or, you know, how do we send those signals in the areas right around it as well, and is that important?
I think it's incredibly important, especially when you think about your neighborhood parks that are multi-use. You know, you may have some open lawn, some shady trees, places where people might have a picnic or little kids are running around, or you could play, you know, kickball or something. And then you might have some really formal recreation spaces, whether it's a playground with swings and a slide, playscape, basketball court. Maybe there's a baseball field in a larger park, or a soccer field, swimming pool. So you have these amenities. You want to send the signal to communities. One, how do you get there, right? So signage, wayfinding into those spaces. Two, that they see other people using them in the ways they want to use them, because activated spaces are safe spaces that people enjoy. And then you want to make sure, and I think this is critically important, that there's a safe way to actually cross the street and get into a park. And I think that that really helps people utilize these spaces when they feel actually physically safe crossing streets and navigating through a neighborhood to get to their park.
It's something that we almost don't think about, but when it's there, you automatically use it.
Right.
Right? So you just
if you build it, they'll come, right?
So it's one of the rare places where that actually works.
So, yeah.
So you are the new executive director of the Allentown Partnership. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired its creation and what your role is as the executive director?
I'd love to. The partnership is established to be the nonprofit partner with Allentown Parks and Recreation, a great parks systems, and Allentown has a phenomenal park system, around the country have a great nonprofit partner. And there was a feeling several years ago from community leaders and the city that Allentown should have a nonprofit partner. And they did the research and the hard work to look at how do we set this up from a funding perspective, from an organizational perspective, but also from an operational perspective. And how does this partner work with the city? So some of the things, it's not the glamorous work, but it's the important, actual, meaningful partnership work. So we have an agreement with the city on how we work together, which is fantastic and a great place to start. And then the next step after doing all that hard work was finding an executive director. And so here I am, and I'm thrilled to be here. It's an amazing collection of parks. And I've had a wonderful, warm welcome from the community, and I'm thrilled.
So, Refian, your background includes 18 years at Friends of the Wissahickon, which is the oldest and largest nonprofit volunteer organization working in partnership with Philadelphia Parks and Recreation. How would you recap your nearly two decades working with Philadelphia's park systems?
It was really a dream job. I got to be there as the development director, deputy director, and then executive director. A wonderful staff, great, great board of directors, and the Wissahickon Valley Park is extraordinary. 2,000 acres of over 10,000 acres of parkland in Philadelphia. I learned a lot there, and after two decades, was really excited about the opportunity to be the partner with the municipal agency, which is what the partnership is. And the Friends of the Wissahickon is a very important partner of Philadelphia Parks and Recreation, but working in one park. And I was really excited about the idea of working across a system, not only in natural lands, which is what the Wissahickon is, but in recreational spaces and multi-use spaces, trails, everything that a park system has. So I'm really excited about that.
From what you've seen about Allentown thus far, have you seen any parallels between the parks in Philadelphia and the parks here in Allentown? And what opportunities do you see, you know, in your early days being here?
I think there's a lot of parallels. There's a lot going on in Allentown's parks right now, mm-hmm. from the comprehensive recreation and open space planning process to work on the MLK Trail, which was recently, I believe, in the morning call, and then a lot of investment that's going to happen both from a capital side and a programmatic side.
We haven't talked much yet about the Parks and Rec Master Plan. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is and what that will include? I know you're early and just kind of coming alongside that, but I think that's something good to share with everyone.
Thank you for asking about the Parks and Recreation Master Plan. I encourage everyone who is in Allentown and loves the parks to go to the city's website, find your way to the Parks and Recreation Department, and take the survey for the comprehensive plan. This is a really exciting process. Cities around the state periodically have to update their recreation and open space plans, many other plans as well, but that's the one we're focused on. And this allows a broad look at the system, thinking about what's there, the conditions it's in, how people are using it. Are the activities that are being supported in the spaces still what people want today? Really collecting a lot of data, benchmarking against other cities, looking at staffing levels in the system, really trying to get a sense of where are we at, where do we want to go, and what is it going to take to get there? And so that's a very exciting thing to be happening right now. And I know even as in my own township where I live, you know, you hear about these planning processes, you wonder, like, what does this mean to me? What is, you know, you're asking me what I want. Am I going to see any change on the ground? But this kind of information and these plans really support the city's ability and their partners' ability to leverage state funding, in some cases federal funding, and go after that investment to bring these things to reality. And to have it centered in a plan is so important. It's not a one-off. It's part of a comprehensive effort working together.
Yeah, so you've emphasized the importance of community voices. What have you been hearing from Allentown residents so far about their connection to its current parks and recreation spaces?
Well, I've had a great opportunity to get out in the parks and meet with some people, so I haven't met with everyone yet, but I'm really hearing how much people love their parks, how proud they are that Allentown has some really great parks, and then what their neighborhood park means to them, the kind of challenges they see, and what they would improvements they would like to have made. I think that there's definitely a great appreciation for the large landscapes, Trexler Park, the Cedar Creek Parkway, Lehigh Parkway. But there's also a desire for more connectivity to some of the denser neighborhoods, for getting into spaces, whether it's active recreation and sports activities or trails, but finding more opportunities in neighborhoods that don't have as close proximity to a park. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing on the ground?
I can't speak for all the parks, but I think the biggest thing that we're hearing is having more third spaces and convening spaces, having coverage. A lot of, I think, as people are recognizing the impact of the heat and the sun, having covered spaces that provide shade and that feel safe, and more seating and benches. More trash cans is the other one we hear a lot, and having space to be able to throw things away. So some of these things that you kind of take for granted but really are missing in a lot of our communal spaces in Allentown. And then more recreational sports spots for kids. I know there's the pickleball trend, which is part of the conversation as well, but I think swings and basketball courts and, you know, more playgrounds where kids can be. And the other interesting one we heard is things for different ages. So making sure there is space for the young kids that is separate from the older kids so that parents can safely know that their kids are playing with other kids of similar age on equipment that is appropriate for them, where they won't be sort of run over or pushed off of. So I think really thinking about those different age groups, and that it's not, you know, one thing doesn't fit everyone, that we need options.
Right, but it's also great for a space to have those multiple options.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have families that have kids of a whole big age range, and maybe you want to come out with your kid and your mom, and enjoy that space all together and have some options for what that looks like. I think shade is such an important thing, whether it's a shady tree or a great pavilion, really important. And also put your sunscreen on, people.
Yes.
Yeah, and so speaking of the warmer climates that we're experiencing during the summer, I know there were always pools, public pools, as part of the On-Town Park system, and we've seen those, some of them go away just because of the maintenance costs and being able to staff lifeguards in the summer, I think, is one of the other issues. Is there, are you hearing anything, either of you, from people like expressing that they want more access to water activities?
Yeah, I think more things like splash pads and other ways that kids and families can enjoy water features in the summer without being a pool is definitely something that would be desirable and that we've heard a lot about. Have you seen that in a lot of other parks?
I think that the findings in the comprehensive plan, which are on the city's website and folks should take a look at and want to see where things are right now, definitely highlight pools and opportunities for either renovating pools or a new pool. And but I think also what the Parks Department is hearing is opportunities to safely get out on the water, whether that's boat launches, for canoeing programming. I mean, there are some programs out there, a great program with Wildlands Conservancy, but looking at other great opportunities. Allentown is really well positioned on a beautiful river, the Lehigh River, and has several gorgeous small streams, the Little Lehigh, Cedar Creek, the Jordan Creek. I mean, these are real Little Trout Creek. I could go, I love a stream. So these are really beautiful streams. And Pennsylvania has so many. I mean, I think I've heard the statistic, and I'm just going to put it out there. I haven't fact-checked myself. Someone else can. But we have, I think, more miles of rivers and streams than any other state in the lower 48.
Wow.
We're really well-resourced in waterways. And Allentown, in particular, has some really beautiful streams that people want to either get close to and see or safely get out on the water. And what does that look like? And it can be very challenging. You don't want people swimming in these moving bodies of water, especially near dams. And so certainly not encouraging folks to do that. But I think there is some looking at how do we bring people safely to the water, whether that's fishing, getting out in a kayak or a canoe, and taking advantage of this great natural resource.
Yeah. And I think programming, you mentioned programming. I think that's another piece, too. The Summer Parks program is very popular.
Yes.
Seeing more things like that and creating more opportunities for there to be formal programming to use the spaces that we have as well so that people can take advantage of that. I think what you're getting at is that in current state, not all parks are created equal. They don't all have the same availability or accessibility. So how are you thinking about equity within that and how you will prioritize or support the full range of parks? I mean, that is a benefit that we have so many of them, but it means it's also hard to make sure each is getting equal amount of attention or the things that it needs.
Well, I'd like to commend the Parks and Recreation Department throughout this comprehensive planning process. What I've heard from everyone is that equity is very much front of mind. I think that that will all be part of the plan, really looking at there's great data. The Health Institute provides a wonderful tool on data points about neighborhoods. So it's very easy to kind of do your research, figure out the demographic data, population size, income level, proximity to parks, and make sure that investment is happening where it's needed most. All parks deserve care, and great parks that look wonderful, you know, they're open for everyone. So I'm not suggesting that we not invest in our parks that look wonderful, but that we also have an eye to making sure that everyone in Allentown has an opportunity to get out in the park and get there safely and hopefully, in a lot of cases, not by car.
So I want to sort of dig in a little bit with the underserved neighborhoods, for instance, or the denser neighborhoods, which tend to be the underserved neighborhoods. The green space in a denser neighborhood are less prevalent, right? So how do you look at the balance of you need activities because you want kids to have someplace to go, but you also want to make sure that they have access to this green, trees, grass. Is that part of this whole plan? Like, how do you ensure in a denser neighborhood that you're balancing and making sure there's green space as well as the blacktop space.
I think that is something.
We talk about this in the context of Franklin Park, which we often say is the least park you've ever seen, because it's mostly asphalt with a swing set and playground right now. And we are in conversations with Allentown Parks and Rec around how would we help to redesign that space with the community and think about what is the balance of green space that we would want there that isn't currently there, while maintaining some of the asphalt space because it's used for parking and sports and our events that we have there. So I think it's a really good question and really thinking about that balance of those two things and how you incorporate some of that in to make it more of a park space while also recognizing the functionality that it serves for a community.
Yeah, I'll build on that a little bit. I think there are things you can do even if you don't have great expanses of open green. And a wonderful thing is adding more trees to an area. I personally feel like it's a stark contrast between a street lined with trees and a street that doesn't, or a park that doesn't have any trees. When there's trees, it's shade, you have some opportunities for shade, and you're really experiencing that natural amenity that a tree brings. So there can be a tension between the need for the active recreation that's going to require some impervious surface like a basketball court versus the open space of green. But I think there can be a balance, and having just a space too where people can be outside. We're spending more and more time inside and away from each other. And so the park, whether it's fully green or a mixture of infrastructure and green, can still have those thriving, healthy community benefits of connectivity, activity, and just getting out there, breathing outside air instead of inside air.
Yeah. Convening space.
All right, let's pivot a little bit to the partnership and the opportunities that we have here. So what does collaboration look like with the City of Allentown and other local partners?
Well, with the partnership, we're a park and a partnership together. And our collaboration with the city is very exciting to be here as the plan is happening, the comprehensive plan. Everything in that plan is going to be of great interest to the partnership's board and to our constituents that support us and to our partner at the city, that we look for ways that we can help advance the plan, take on some work while the city does others, do work together. So I think it's a true collaboration, which there's more discussions and planning that will happen out of that. But I think the city has many partners that are very interested. A lot of the parks have a particular group that's very invested, whether it's a great community of organizations and community members at Franklin Park, a wonderful group of citizens at Villania Park who really are out there keeping an eye on the park, taking care of it, and around the city, you know, whether it's at Trexler or the Rose Garden, and count, you know, more parks in between all of those. That there's a lot of investment from smaller organizations, community groups, and everyday citizens who are out there working together, keeping an eye on things, taking care of stuff immediately, and reaching out to Parks and Recreation to let them know of great things and things that they're concerned about. And I've been really, really, really happy meeting the great team at the Parks Department that really do, they themselves love these parks so much and are excited to get out there and make some really great things happen.
So for our listeners, can we just clarify what the partnership is, why it's a needed partner, right? So the city has X amount of dollars, and the only way to get more dollars is raise taxes, and that's certainly not very popular. So this organization is set up as sort of the partner part of it is helping to fill the gaps in funding. Is that accurate?
And to maybe accelerate projects. Now, we're early days here, but I think it would either be to make something happen faster, to bring in private philanthropy, which is something that a municipal partner can't necessarily access. If you look at, you know, New York City, which has a large budget for its parks department and also has a lot of partners that work with it and bring more resources to the system. And you look in Philadelphia, you have the Fairmount Park Conservancy, you have park-specific groups like the Friends of the Wissahickon and many others that are taking on large capital projects and doing extensive programming and volunteer organization in their parks. Pittsburgh has the Pittsburgh Park Conservancy. So it's really to bring private philanthropy and add additional capacity to the system, not to replace any work that the city does not to take over general maintenance that they're already doing, but to really be additive and bring more resources to the system, whether that's capital dollars, programmatic dollars, or really just being another place where, you know, people can reach out to the partnership and say, I'm concerned about this, and I can bring a list of concerns and say, this is what I'm hearing. So just be another resource out there in the community for something.
It's an exciting time. I mean, between the comprehensive plan, as well as it sounds like this is something that is in many big cities across the country, and now we're going to have something similar here in Allentown. So the combination of those things for me is really exciting.
Yeah. It is very exciting, and big cities and medium cities and even small cities have partners like this. And so it's really exciting to be that partner here in Allentown.
Are there any upcoming projects or fundraising opportunities listeners should know about?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm really excited to share that the Parks and Recreation Department, with support from the Allentown Partnership, this will be our first project together. We'll be implementing a brand new basketball court at Stevens Park. Currently, there's a small half court, and the Parks Department heard from the community that they'd really love the full court experience. And I think that's great. You know, if you've ever been to a basketball court and you see little kids and older kids, or the young adults or even the older adults, all kind of clamoring to try to get their time at the hoop, it's a good thing to have a full court. So we're thrilled. The board is very excited that this will be our first project. We're really grateful to the Parks Department for bringing it to our attention and accelerating it. We're hoping that it will be completed before the height of the summer season. And there's some other great things that'll be happening at Stevens Park with great partners looking at community work.
So, Ruffian, what are you most excited about as you look toward the next year of the partnership's development?
I'm really excited to get to see every park. I haven't been to every single one yet. I've been to a lot. I'm really excited to meet more of the people who love the parks, have passion for them, and help channel that interest and energy into connecting with the parks, whether that's as a donor, whether that's as a volunteer somewhere in the park system, or just offering some really great feedback that we can have to move forward. And then I'm also excited about building the organization and what that is going to look like from a project perspective, programming, which is very interesting to me, and then working with the other groups that are really passionate about the parks and how we can, again, bring capacity, I think, is one of the things that I'm thinking about. How are we bringing more capacity to the city and to the groups that are already kind of on the ground and concerned or are already caring for parts of the park system?
For those who want to help and get more involved, how can residents and organizations further support this effort? You mentioned volunteering and donating. Where should they go?
Well, to do those things, you should reach out to us at Allentown Parknership. It's not spelled wrong, folks. It's parknership.org. And you can sign up for our newsletter. You can make a donation. We'd be so appreciative. Or you can just send us a message and say, I'd like to learn more, or Ruffy and I want to show you a park, and we'd be happy to get those messages.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing this. This is so exciting to have this new organization as part of the framework in Allentown. And I certainly hope as time goes on, and maybe in a year or so, we'll have you back to talk about what's been done and what's the planning going forward. Any final thoughts from you, Sam?
No, this has been a great conversation, and really looking forward to seeing what the next few years bring and continuing to follow the progress of both Parks and Rec and the partnership.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. And thank you to everyone who's given me such a warm welcome to Allentown and the Lehigh Valley. It's been great.
Get out to one of your local parks sometime this week.
Yeah, that's kind of giving me my reminder. It's been a while since I've been to Drexler Park to walk, so thank you. If you would like to listen to this program again, you can go to our website at wdiy.org, the WDIY app, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, here with Samantha Schock. Thank you for listening. Have a great evening.
This has been the Well-Being Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on WDIY.org and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.